John chapter 14. Just going to read one verse. John chapter 14. That one verse is going to kind of show us what we're talking about tonight. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15. The Lord says simply, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And what that's basically saying is, if you love the Lord, you'll do what he tells you to, you'll do what he tells you to do. Amen. You know, nearly every Bible believer is familiar with the Ten Commandments as they are the way they're listed, that is, in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. You know, and one of the things I like to do is whenever somebody tells me that, well, you've got to keep the law to be saved, the first thing I like to do is say, well, do you know what the law is? And ask them if they know what the Ten Commandments are. You'll find that most people don't. And then after that, if they make it to the Ten Commandments, I'll say, well, can you name the other 350? Because there are a lot of commandments, you know, and of course, nobody can do that. I mean, well, I ain't gonna say nobody, but I've never met any person that could do that. And, you know, the Bible says if you break one, you break them all, okay? And so we understand what those Ten Commandments are. Now, just in case you've forgotten, the Ten Commandments are, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, thou shalt remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Basically, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Okay, that is the Ten Commandments that you find in the Bible. Okay, that is the Ten Commandments right from Exodus chapter 20. Those are also the Ten Commandments that are changed by the Catholic Church to justify their bowing down before Mary. They get rid of the second commandment. The second commandment is, thou shalt not make any graven image. They get rid of that. Now, they still have 10, and they look very similar, but they're not the same. See, they get rid of the second one, and then they, at the end of it, they add a second covet, thou shalt not covet. In other words, they have it all the same. They take out the second commandment, and then the last two commandments is, number 9 would be, thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's goods, and then thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife. That is the last two commandments in the Roman Catholic Ten Commandments. And I think I was telling somebody here a while back, I didn't even realize that was true until years ago. I was taking my oldest son, and we used to swim over at the College of Great Falls. And I was teaching him to swim over there. And as we were walking in one day, he looks up. Now, this is a little boy that's probably, I guess he's probably 10 or 11. And he noticed it right off the bat. And he goes, Dad, where are those Ten Commandments from? And I just saw Ten Commandments. I didn't think anything of it. And I stopped and I read and I was like, whoa, I ain't supposed to be like that. I'm pretty proud of my little boy caught that, okay? But he did, so that's what they do. Now, the commandments, the Ten Commandments found in Exodus 20 are also the same commandments that the NEA, the ACLU, and the Supreme Court got kicked out of the public schools. Same ones, okay? Under the false claim of the separation of church and state. They were really removed because those are God's words. Those words have authority. And those words will tell you what's really right and what's really wrong. And, you know, of course, the state wanted authority to tell you what they think is right or wrong. And, you know, you never can tell. The children might read those Ten Commandments in school and may accidentally decide to do what's right. So they got to get them out of there. I mean, they can't. You can't have the Ten Commandments there and have that going on. Not only that, but the Ten Commandments were also removed from the courtrooms as well. If you remember, quite a few years ago now, but Judge Roy Moore down in Alabama, he had those Ten Commandments in his courtroom. Of course, they had them removed. The reason he put those commandments in the courtroom was because he felt that the jury may be influenced to actually uphold the law against criminals. So what they had to do, they had to get rid of it. Had to get rid of the Ten Commandments. And we know the story. He got in a lot of trouble over that. He took a stand. These are the same Ten Commandments. They're mentioned in the book of Exodus. They're also repeated by Moses in the second giving of the law in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 6 through 21. Christ used them in dealing with the rich young ruler, if you remember. They're in Matthew chapter 19. In Romans 13:9, Paul quotes a portion of the Ten Commandments to teach us that love is the key to obeying the commandments of God. Romans 13, 9 and 10 says, "For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." That's what Paul had to say about it. Also, as a side note, when Jesus talked about the law when dealing with the rich young ruler, if you ever get a chance to read that passage in Matthew chapter 19, the words of Jesus, he actually, he shot down a false belief today. There are people today that are conscientious objectors, and they say, well, the Bible says that thou shalt not kill, and therefore they won't go in the military because of that. Now, if a person has a conviction over that, that's one thing. But to say that it scripturally says that you can't do that, the Lord, when he talked to that rich young ruler, he said, he didn't say kill, he said murder. Okay, and so what that does, that proves that when it says thou shalt not kill, it's not talking about going in the military and fighting for the country. It's talking about murdering somebody. And that's what Jesus proved when he said that. That's the reason every single word in the Bible is absolutely crucial. Okay, you got to pay attention to every single word. All right, now also Paul also taught in Romans chapter 2 that these laws were written in the hearts of the heathen. Romans 2, 14 and 15 says, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." So he talks about that. And you know, I think a lot of Christians are familiar with the Ten Commandments. I think we should all know them better. I think that it's a good testimony to be able to tell people what the Ten Commandments are. But really, very few people are acquainted with the Seven Commandments about the book from which the Ten Commandments came. There are seven commandments in the scripture that deal with the Bible itself. Okay, and when I'm talking about the Bible, I'm not talking about something that was originally written. I'm not talking about, you know, some lexicon that nobody can read. I'm talking about the collection of 66 books that make up what we call the Holy Scriptures found in your King James Bible. We call that the Holy Bible. Now, I'm just going to tell you, if a person today doesn't believe every single word in that Bible and he thinks there's mistakes in it, then it's dishonest for him to call it a Holy Bible. Amen? Amen. I mean, how can you call something holy that you don't think is true? Okay. And so that's what I'm talking about. Now, those seven commandments tell the Christian exactly what to do with his Bible. And God even goes so far as to tell us why he gave each one of us these commandments when it talks about what we should be doing with the scriptures that we have. And so here are the seven commandments that God gives us concerning the scriptures. Number one, the first commandment is we are to read the scriptures. Turn, if you would, over to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. We are to read the scriptures. And like again, you'll notice that every one of these times, every time the Lord tells us to do something concerning the scriptures, he always tells us why. He gives us a reason why. Now, he doesn't have to do that. All he can do is tell us to do it, and then that's it. But he tells us why. In Isaiah chapter 34, look if you would at verse 16. Notice the first part of that verse says, Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. You know, you live in a day when many, if not most, Christians don't read their Bible. Christians today generally just don't read it. Now, I understand that the reason that some people don't read their Bible like they used to is because of a changing culture. Certainly, books today are not as intriguing as other things. In fact, when it comes to just regular books, books are a thing of the past. Nobody wants books anymore. Everybody can either get on an e-reader or read it on their phone or whatever. So when it comes to actually grabbing an actual book, I tried to sell some books in my library, and ain't nobody biting, okay? And so people just don't want that. Not only that, but you're also living in a time when, you know, you have all this entertainment everywhere. And so people, you know, they just don't have time to read a book. Certainly don't have time to read their Bible, obviously. I've even heard some people tell me, why read a book? I'll just wait for the movie. Okay? That right there, I think that's somewhat laziness, I think. You know, I mean, you could be reading the Bible, but people don't want to do that. Today, nobody really wants to read a book. Today, people want to watch preachers on YouTube channels who are really, most of them aren't even preachers at all. And it's from those preachers that a lot of Christians get their doctrine, not from the Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with technology. I will tell you that as long as it's used correctly, there's nothing wrong with technology. I like the fact that we no longer have just three channels on TV. I think that's pretty neat. You know, I can watch more than three channels. Well, actually, I used to have two channels and one that come in fuzzy. Okay, that's what I grew up with. Technology today, I mean, you could watch anything you want to. I like the fact that I can search the internet for information and I don't have to buy a whole set of encyclopedias. By the way, if you would like to have a set of encyclopedias, back there inside the library, there's one. But you know, those things, you have to get those things updated all the time. I mean, you buy a set of encyclopedias today, they're no good in a couple of years. But you know, you've got the internet now. So, I mean, there is good technology, I guess. But you have to admit, having technology and having an endless source of entertainment at your fingertips has taken its toll on Christians reading the Bible. But we are commanded to read it. And the reason we are to read it is because you will find prophecy and God's promises in your Bible. There in Isaiah chapter 34, look back at verse 15. It says, There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. You say, what in the world is that talking about? Well, if you go all the way back to the beginning of that chapter and you read through, it's talking about how it's going to be when the Lord comes back. And not only that, but in that chapter, it also talks about how the lake of fire is actually formed, how it's built, where it's made, the whole works. And how are you going to know that if you don't read it? How are you going to know the prophecies of that Bible if you don't read it? How are you going to know what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back if you don't read it? How are you going to know how we should be living in these last days if you don't seek ye out the book and read? So the Lord says you need to read the thing. I'll tell you this, folks, I've read it, and I know how this thing's all going to end. Do you? I mean, listen, you got to read the Bible to know that. You got to read the Bible. All right, so we're commanded, first of all, to read the Scriptures. But then the second commandment we've been given concerning the Scriptures is that we are to not only read them, but we are to study the Scriptures. Turn if you will over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are to study the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the only Bible on the market today, the only Bible on the market today that tells you to study the Word of God is the King James Bible. It's the only one. You can look at the New King James, you can look at the NIV, the New American Standard, the ESV, anyone you want. There is no Bible on the market other than the King James Bible that tells you to study it. You will not find the word study in any Bible except for the King James Bible. And as today, though, people don't study their Bible. One of the reasons why is if you don't have a King James Bible, you're never told to study your Bible. But God said, study to show thyself approved unto God. And, you know, because people aren't studying your Bible today, we live in probably the most biblically illiterate time since probably the Dark Ages, where people just don't know what their Bible says. I mean, you know, when the Bible tells you to study it, it means that you are to go deeper than the Scriptures than just reading it. If you just read it and do nothing else, then you're probably going to get a bit confused if you just read it without studying it. I remember one day I was here in town, and a guy that I knew years ago saw me, and he recognized me, and he came up, and we started talking about some of the things we used to do when we were in the military. And, of course, he's a Christian now, which I'm very happy about, you know. But anyway, the subject got on salvation. And the guy told me, he said, you've been baptized, haven't you? He goes, you know you have to be baptized in order to have your sins forgiven and be saved. That's what the Bible says. That was exactly what he told me. And then he showed me Acts 2.38. Now here's what Acts 2.38 says. Then said Peter unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. There's a problem with that. You know what that problem is? He didn't study He read it. Now, I'm thankful that he was able to show me a verse. I will admit that, because most Christians, they'll just tell you what they think and they won't even have a verse to show you. So he'd been reading his Bible. That's good. But he hadn't been studying his Bible. Because if he had been studying his Bible, notice there when it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, when you study the Bible, you have to rightly divide it. When we look at the Bible, we know that when you study the Bible, when you're actually studying it, you're going to find out that not everything that's written in that Bible or written in that Bible is doctrinally applied to us. If you go back in the Old Testament, would you agree that the things that were told and the situation that it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall was way different than it is today? I mean, there was no sin, nothing, okay? You can go back in the Old Testament before the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were things doctrinally back then that do not apply to us today. You say, well, name one. Okay, I can eat a ham sandwich today. They couldn't back then. Amen? There were things that applied to them doctrinally that do not apply to us doctrinally. I can eat bacon now. They can't eat bacon back then. I can eat catfish today. They couldn't eat that then. Okay? They can eat carrots. We can't today. I'm just kidding. Okay? But there are things that are just different. Okay? And you have to be careful when you're studying the scriptures. Just reading it, you're going to get confused. If you study it, though, and you rightly divide it by comparing scripture with scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, if you do that, then you'll start to understand that you have things that were written to Jews in the Old Testament. You have things that are written to everybody today. You have things that are written to people during the tribulation, which that's a time when we're not going to be here. But there are going to be people to get saved during that time. You would understand what the difference between the gospel of the kingdom is and the gospel of grace. You would understand these things, but you have to rightly divide those things. In other words, you just can't take the Bible and say it's all for me. No, you can read it and you can learn from a lot of it, but not all of it doctrinally applies to you. Not all of it does. And certainly when Peter is saying right there, he says, repent, be baptized for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Just about every person today that teaches you have to be baptized in water to be saved uses that verse. They use it wrong. They have not rightly divided the scriptures. Why? Because Paul says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he says, this is the gospel by which you are saved, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. No mention of water at all. No mention of water over there in Romans chapter 9 and 10. No mention of water over there. But see, he goes over here. You go over to Acts chapter 2. Who's he preaching to? He begins the chapter by saying, ye men of Israel. That's how he starts it. Okay? And not only that, but if you keep on reading that passage, nobody ever asked how to be saved. They said, what must we do? And then Peter gives an answer. And the answer he gives is the same answer that John the Baptist gave. Same exact thing. Why? Gospel of the kingdom. Okay? And so you find out that not everything is applied to us. Now, you will also notice that here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that there are other people who did not rightly divide their Bible, because right after he says there to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, look what it says starting in verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. Their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Isn't it something that he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, and the workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth, and then right after he says, now I'm going to show you some people who didn't. That's what happens. That's what will happen if you don't rightly divide. You'll start to teach things that are wrong. Okay? And so that's what it's talking about. And so studying the scriptures involves rightly dividing the scriptures. That's what it involves. And so that the first commandment is read the scriptures. The second commandment is that we must study the scriptures. Reading is good. And I tell people, if you can read that Bible through, do it. But that's not all you're supposed to do. You're supposed to study it too. You have to study it. Okay? And then commandment number three. We are to read the Bible. We're to study the Bible. And then we are to search the scriptures. We are to search the scriptures. Jesus said this in John 5:39. He said, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Now, this is another verse that many of the modern versions have changed so that it is no longer a command. So in the clearer, more accurate translations, or so they say, there is no command to study the scriptures or search the scriptures, but we are commanded to. Now, the Bereans understood this. Turn, if you would, over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 10. It says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few." These Bereans had heard Paul preach, and they had heard Silas preach, and rather than just taking Paul and Silas at their word, they searched the scriptures to see whether the things that they were preaching was so concerning Christ. In other words, they didn't just take what they said. They said, okay, what'd you say? And then they read the scriptures to see if what they said was so, okay? That's the reason why Jesus said there in John 5:39, he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So when Paul and Silas is preaching, these Bereans say, okay, wait a second, let's search the scriptures and see if he's preaching the same Christ that's in the Bible. How many of you understand there are people today that don't preach the same Christ that's in the Bible? Okay? I mean, there are people today that call themselves Christian, and the Christ they preach is not the same. But it says, but Jesus said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." If you want to know exactly who Jesus Christ really is, not what people try to teach you he is, you got to search the scriptures to find it. You got to search the scriptures. That's what those Bereans did. And you know, if you search the scriptures, you'll find Jesus from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through there. You'll see him in type. You'll see him, as a theophany. You'll see him, after he's been born. You'll see him during the first Advent. You'll see the prophesying or the prophecy of him coming again the second time. You're going to see all the way through. You see Jesus Christ. That's the reason he said that. And so when people today start preaching, what people do is they just take their word on it. And they start to preach a different Jesus, and people fall for it. You know why? Because they're not searching the scriptures. They're not searching the scriptures to see if what they're saying is so. It doesn't matter who's preaching. It doesn't matter what they're preaching on. Search the scriptures to make sure that what's being said is so. Amen? Got to do that. All right? So that is our third commandment. Commandment number four. And that is, we are to memorize the scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now in this verse, it's not only implied that we are to hide the word of God in our heart, which means we are to memorize the word of God so that we can recall scripture by memory at the drop of a hat. That's the reason why we memorize scripture. So that way, if something happens with that scripture, we should be able to think of that scripture, and there it is. That's the reason we memorize scripture. That's the reason we hide it in our heart. Now, this verse also tells us why we are to hide God's word in our heart, and that is so that we will not sin against God. That's what it says. Now, the perfect example, I think we all know what the perfect example of this is, but the perfect example of somebody having scripture memorized so that they would not sin was Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted by the devil. In that passage, you'll notice that every time the devil tempted the Lord to sin against God, that's what he was doing, the Lord quoted scripture from memory. He didn't have a Bible there. Now, I understand he was the writer of the book. I understand that. But he still quoted without having it there. That's how he resisted the devil. That's how he resisted the devil's temptation to sin. Therefore, we are to hide the word of God in our heart so that we can do the same, so that we can resist the devil's temptation to sin as well. Now, I know memorizing scripture is not easy. The reason I know that is because I've been trying now for over a year to memorize the entire book of John. I'm not very far, but I'm farther than I thought I would be. Okay, I'm not as far as I certainly wanted to be. But I keep trying. And that's really what we need to do. We need to try. Just try to memorize scripture. And I know you can do it. Let me tell you how I know everybody in here can do it. If I said right now, can you quote John 3:16? I'll bet you that we all could. Amen? Amen. If I said right now, quote Psalm 23:1. I'll bet you everybody in here can do it. If I said right now, quote John 11:35, I know everybody in here can do it. That's Jesus wept. Let me tell you how I know everybody in here can do it. Because that's the one we always choose when somebody says, memorize the scripture. And we always try to be wise and say, okay, I got one. Give me my green star, my gold star. I mean, everybody knows that. So that's three right off the bat. Well, if you can memorize those, you can memorize other ones. Amen? It's just how much you want to do it. It's how much that you know, how much you're willing to apply yourself. We need to memorize scripture. We need to hide that scripture in our hearts so that we might not sin against God. So when we're tempted, when the devil tempts us or in our flesh tempts us, we can stop and say, wait a second, I remember a verse that said that warned me against that. And it gives you an opportunity to resist the devil and not do it. If we're not going to memorize scripture, if we're not going to hide the word of God in our heart, and we have no idea what the Bible says, we're not going to stand much of a chance against the devil and his temptations. Read the scripture, study the scripture, search the scriptures, memorize the scriptures. Commandment number 5. We are commanded to obviously obey the scriptures. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 23 says, but this thing commanded I of them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Now, here again, God gives a command concerning the scriptures, and then he gives us the reason why he gave the command. Notice he said at the end of verse, that it may be well unto you. Do you understand how much trouble a Christian can save himself from if he would just do what the Bible tells him to do? If you think about it, if you just do what that Bible tells you to do, it would keep you out of so much trouble. I mean, if you just do it God's way. I'll give you some examples. Just a few verses. Think about this one. Avoid all appearance of evil. Now, if that was the only verse you said, I'm going to avoid all appearance of evil. You know how much trouble that would keep you out of? I mean, there would be places you wouldn't dream of going. There would be things you wouldn't dream of doing. Why? Because it says right there, avoid all appearance of evil. Doesn't matter if you're doing evil or not. Sometimes the accusation's worse than the crime. Amen? Or how about this? Give no place to the devil. If you did that all the time, if you just obeyed just that verse, give no place to the devil, I mean, you think about the trouble it would keep you out of. I'll tell you another one. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. I'll show you another one. Now, we need to obey the whole thing. I'm just giving you some examples of what the Bible says. And if we actually did what it told us to do, we wouldn't get in trouble very often. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, if you just said, okay, I'm going to think on those things. If you're thinking on those things, then you're not thinking about wicked things. If you're thinking about those things, you're not thinking about things you shouldn't be thinking about. Right. Amen? You know, can you imagine the believers actually did that? If all believers actually just did Philippians 4:8. You know how much trouble it would save them from getting into? You know, if they thought on those things, certainly they wouldn't be thinking about wicked things. Don't you understand that a person who does wrong thinks wrong first? You have to think wrong first before you'll do wrong. Right. I mean, that's just the way it is. And if we're thinking right, chances are we're going to be doing right. We are to obey scriptures. Now, back there in Philippians chapter 4, look at the next verse. Notice what Paul says. In verse 9, it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He tells you right there. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Do it. Obey the scriptures that it may be well with you. It will be well. It will be well unto you if you do what the Bible tells you to do. It will. Why? Because God's way is perfect. Amen. His way is perfect. All right, commandment number 6. You are to meditate on the scriptures. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We are to meditate on the scriptures. Joshua chapter 1. And look at verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Boy, if we'd all do that, day and night, meditate in the scriptures. That thou mayest observe to do all according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, when it says to meditate on the Word of God, it means to ponder what you've read. How many of you ever read, you know, you're sitting there and you go, okay, I'm trying to read my Bible through, and you're really tired, you just come home from work, and you're trying to get the Bible reading in, and you read a paragraph, and after you get done, you have no idea what you just read. We've all done that, especially in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Second Chronicles and places like that. We get in those places, we'll just read and read, and we get to the point where it's so mechanical, we're just trying to say, okay, I read that scripture and check that off. But we're not thinking about what's being said. Now, I understand that there are some places in scripture that you're really going to have to pray and ask the Lord to give you something. I understand that, okay? Because there are some parts in scripture, especially when you start getting into the genealogies and you start to get into who begot who and all these different things that you're like, oh man, it's never going to end. I understand that. Right now I'm studying on the tabernacle. And the guy that's teaching it is, I mean, I've watched paint dry and had more excitement, okay? Very, very dry. But you know, I've learned some things in it. If you pray and say, Lord, show me something, give me something, you'd be surprised at the things that you'll learn. When you read, take your time. Just don't read the words. Ponder what it's saying. Think about what it's saying. Think about what it's saying to you. Think about what it's teaching. Think about, you know, how it applies to you personally. Be quiet and let the Holy Spirit teach you through that word. And just listen to what He has to say. That's what it's talking about when it's talking about meditating on it. It's not just simply reading it. It's not simply just reading over the words. It's actually thinking about it, pondering on it, thinking about what it has to say. You know, today's society is so easy to get our minds thinking about other things. We worry about our jobs, we worry about our country, our economy, our children, our grandchildren. We worry about, you know, things that's going on tomorrow. We think about the things we should have done yesterday. And I mean, that's what we do. We think about all these different things. And, you know, but the truth is we need to ponder, we need to meditate on the Word of God. And you say, well, preacher, I don't have time to do that. I barely have time to read it. I don't have time to think about it. Well, you better make time. You better make time. Because the only peace you're ever going to get in this world is from the words of that book. That's the only one. You know, whenever you're really distressed, whenever you start to worry about something, you start to wonder how things are going, you ever just stop and just start reading your Bible? And do you notice how the Spirit just changes? Am I the only one that notices that? It's like... I hope it's to everybody else like it is me, because whenever I start reading it, I always pray before I read it, and I always ask God to show me something before I read it, and I always ask Him to speak to me before I read it, and then I take a deep breath, and I start reading it, and there's just like a peace that comes over, because I can hear His voice talking to me through those words. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, you can't get that unless you're willing to ponder and meditate on His Word. You can't get it. You better make time. Not only that, but God says here in Joshua 1:8, He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you'll just meditate on His Word and do what it tells you to do, you're going to do just fine in this world. You're going to do just fine as a Christian. All right, the seventh and final commandment we've been given concerning the Scriptures is that, believe it or not, we're commanded to preach the Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there, women can be preachers or nothing like that. It ain't where I'm going with this, okay? But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says this. It's Paul talking to Timothy, and he says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that, well, this is a command given to only to preachers because it's Paul talking to Timothy. Well, that's somewhat correct. But you'll notice that there's another verse in the Bible that's very similar to this. And it's not written to preachers. Turn, if you would, over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, hold your place there at 2 Timothy chapter 4 because we're going to be coming back. But 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look if you would at verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now back there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." Here it says, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man." Can't help but notice the similarities there. Okay, now I'm not going to deny that 2 Peter chapter 4, verse 2 is probably written to preachers. No doubt about that. It does say preach the word. But here it tells you that you need to be ready, even if you're not a preacher. If you're a Christian, you need to be ready to give an answer at a drop of a hat. If somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, how come you have hope when all this is going wrong?" You can say, "Well, let me tell you about the God I serve. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ." Be ready to give an answer. And, you know, instant in season, out of season. That's the way we're to be. When these people have no hope, when they see the hope in you, which, by the way, I hope that they see the hope in you. I still have a beef with some Christians who walk around like they have no hope. But when they see the hope in you, you should be ready to give an answer. And as Christians, you should be able to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. How many of you ever had heard of somebody teaching something that was wrong or know somebody that believes something wrong? Listen, it's okay for you to use the scriptures and show them the right way. How do we know that? Because you had people in the New Testament that helped Apollos when he was teaching wrong. Amen? So listen, you can't say, "Well, I can't. That guy believes wrong. I can't say anything to him, so I'll go get the pastor to talk to him." No, you should know the scriptures well enough to where you should be able to correct them. You should be able to reprove them. You should be able to rebuke them. You should be able to teach them with all longsuffering. You should be able to do that. Every Christian should be able to. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you look back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, God tells you why. Why that we are to preach with all longsuffering. And we're to preach, be instant in season, out of season. He tells you why. Look at verse 3. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." How many of you know that's exactly what you see happening in the world today? Amen. You know why? Because nobody's speaking up. Nobody's teaching. Nobody's reading their Bible. Nobody's studying their Bible. Nobody's searching the scriptures. And you have a bunch of people out here that are teaching on the internet, teaching all these different things, and everybody's buying it, just sucking it right in, and they're not reading their Bible at all. They're not even seeing if that what they're saying is so. That's what's happening in the world today. But as Christians, we should at least, everybody don't have to be a theologian, but we should know the basic doctrines. You should understand why we can't lose our salvation. You should be able to give a couple of verses on that. You should be able to give a couple of verses on the virgin birth. You should be able to give a couple of verses on the fact that we're not going to be here when the rapture takes place. I mean, you should have enough verses to where you should be able to at least give them a couple of verses and walk off and say, "I'm praying for you." To where you could just, at a drop of a hat, and say, "Have you ever noticed?" You know, even if somebody says, "Well, I just believe you could lose your salvation." What's wrong with giving John 3:16? We all memorized that scripture, didn't we? Does that say everlasting life in that scripture? Going to be a pretty hard argument for somebody to say, "I don't have it," when the Bible says I do. Amen? Now, it says here that the people are going to turn away to false doctrine. And that's exactly what we're seeing. People deceive everywhere. Christians are being deceived because they don't read their Bible and they don't do the things they're supposed to do. Therefore, we are to hold fast the Word of God and teach them. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'll give you another verse, or another couple of verses that's talking to us. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto men, unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who have taken them captive at his will." You know what that's telling you? It says the servant of the Lord. That's telling you that you should be apt to teach with patience. People that have gotten off the rails, that have started to believe wrong on things, you should be able to do that. All Christians should be able to do that. We've been commanded to read the scriptures, to study the scriptures, to search the scriptures, to memorize the scriptures, to obey the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, and even teach and preach the scriptures. Those are the seven commandments that the Word of God has given for the child of God concerning the scriptures. Are you keeping those seven commandments? I'll tell you this, when you look around, you find it. A lot of people aren't. A lot of people aren't. All right, we'll go ahead and stop there tonight.